It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. Feeling like today is going to be amazing.
Yeah, very excited about today. We have a lot of topics. We're going to jump right into it. It is 9:06 and presented by Carol Royce. It is time for the launch.
Launch.
That's a major story brewing in southern Utah this morning. A high school cheer squad accused of hazing. Well, that case was closed, but now a disgruntled dad is accused of distributing an inappropriate video of a young hazing victim. It's all connected to the case. We've got the twisted tale as well as a live interview to ask, will dad be charged with a crime?
Yeah, and how does cheerleading push you over the edge? Push you to the point that you're willing to blackmail somebody.
Dave and Dejanovic.
The launch.
Commence.
It's a developing story out of southern Utah. A horrible hazing incident involving cheerleaders at Desert Hills High School there in St. George. It was all caught on tape.
Yeah, and we are talking about a story that involves hazing and blackmail, intimidation. Debbie, I am furious. Somebody needs to go to jail for this.
KSL Television's Alex Cabrero broke this big story last night at 10 on Channel 5 News. And we've decided that you've got to hear the entire exclusive report because there's so many twists and turns that Dave and I couldn't possibly break it all down for you the way Alex did. So let's follow all those twists and turns so we understand why the investigation has now been reopened.
In order to understand what everyone is talking about at Desert Hills High School this week,
we felt like there was a need to revisit the initial investigation.
You first have to go back a few months.
We had a hazing incident that took place in June.
Washington County School District spokesperson Stephen Dunham couldn't go into details of that hazing incident, but it involved members of the school's cheerleading team, where some of the older girls did things to some of the younger girls and videotaped it. A clip of that video was given to school administrators.
The administration at the school took action, thought they had resolved issues, and really thought they'd taken care of things.
That is, until last week, when a senior cheerleader who allegedly hazed younger girls was kicked off the team for a different violation. The school district says the father of that cheerleader then threatened the district, saying if his daughter was not put back on the team, he would release the full video of what happened. Administrators didn't even know there was a full video.
They copied and they are distributing copies of the videos throughout the community. And these videos contain a semi-nude juvenile female. And that's not appropriate.
The school district contacted police, but just found out today no charges have been filed against the parent because no victims have come forward.
When you have parents and students that are hesitant to come forward, you have a culture that needs to change. They're fearing retribution, and we want the truth to come out because it helps everybody in the long run.
A blackmailing parent? Are you serious? Like, at what point in your life do you look in the mirror and say, yep, if my daughter doesn't get back on the cheer squad, I'm going to attack another child? I mean, this is insanity.
Who is already a victim. Re-victimizing a victim who's a child. Dave, my blood is boiling. When I just got done listening to Alex Cabrero's exclusive report, incredible reporting out of southern Utah, what's going on there at Desert Hills High School. I'm even more outraged, and I've listened to it three times already before we came in the booth today. My question is this. Do we have a potential of a child pornography charge against that parent for distributing that video? This is what stood out to me in that story.
They copied and they are distributing copies of the videos throughout the community. And these videos contain a semi-nude juvenile female.
Debbie, this is the fear and the panic of not just the child, but of every parent. This is what happens. A video, a picture gets sent, and then all of a sudden, it's like wildfire. It gets distributed to everybody. Now, we don't know who this individual is, but I can guarantee you, in that community, in St. George, they know who this girl is, and I would guess everybody knows the story. It's just we haven't unpacked it ourselves, but this isn't, oh, I wonder who this is. The cheer squad's not that large. This is a story that is not, oh, let's sweep it under the rug. Everybody knows.
The problem, though, is when there's a victim, they can be intimidated.
Definitely.
Just through the idea that they could be embarrassed if they come forward.
Even more.
Or perhaps they feel as though the case will go nowhere. But the district is now asking the victim's parents, please, please step forward.
You have a culture that needs to change. They're fearing retribution, and we want the truth to come out because it helps everybody in the long run.
I'm curious how this went down in the first place. Was there enough of an investigation when they saw the first hazing incident? Now, Alex's story says that they didn't realize that there was a longer video. But would a more intense investigation in the first place unveiled some of these things?
If I were a parent in this situation, I know it's so difficult. A kid comes home and tells you something, you know, happened, and you're trying to get to the bottom of it. But in this case, hindsight being 20/20, Dave, boy, I sure hope the cops were involved from the very beginning. And if not, they need to be involved now. It's a growing investigation in St. George in southern Utah. Who is the child in the hazing video? And will the parent accused of circulating that video face criminal charges? Let's go live to southern Utah with reporter who broke this big story, Alex Cabrero, next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news with Dave and Debbie.
I put your Social Security number on a billboard.
It would change nothing.
News at 5, honk at 9 on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
It's a developing story out of southern Utah where a young victim of a high school hazing incident won't come forward. And the school district in southern Utah is asking her to.
When you have parents and students that are hesitant to come forward, you have a culture that needs to change.
But we can't pressure her. This is at her own pace. If she wants to come out and tell her story, it's her story to tell. That being said, I can almost guarantee that everyone at the school, everyone in the community knows who this person is. It's too small of a group. This isn't, hey, someone in the school. It is the talk of the cheerleading squad.
If you're just hopping in the car and joining us, let's get you up to speed on this story. It's a big story developing out of Desert Hills High School in St. George. It was first reported last night on KSL television at 10 o'clock. The case involving St. George cheerleaders was actually closed. It was a hazing situation. Cheerleaders were disciplined. But then the district says a parent, it was a dad, recently began distributing the entire video, it was caught on tape, around the community of a young female hazing victim who was partially naked. So there you have the latest details on that.
Does it change at all? Does anything change your perception depending on how graphic the video is? So I don't know what partially clothed, semi-naked, semi-nude. I don't know what that means. Is it a bikini? Is it honest to goodness nudity? I don't know. Does it change anything?
in terms of the dad?
No, I think the hazing. I mean I want to know kind of in the first part, if there was a hazing incident, how were these cheerleaders still allowed to stay on the squad in the first place?
That's a great question.
And again, this is a story that it seemed to have taken place sometime in the summer, I believe. And it looked to have been resolved, but it was only after this cheerleader was kicked off for a totally different violation that the threat said, all right, you let her back on, or this video that we had tucked away that had gone bye-bye is going to come back out in the open.
Let's sort through the details and where the investigation goes through from here with KSL Television's Alex Cabrero. You broke the story last night at 10. It's a very twisted story, Alex, unfolding there in the St. George area. Are police now involved in this case, or the district trying to handle this case on its own?
No, yeah, Deb and Dave, the police department is involved, but only to the extent where the school district gave the St. George Police Department the video when they received the full video. The St. George Police Department says they have no victims coming forward at this point, so they don't have a case unless a victim comes forward. Unless they have something to look at and prosecute, they need somebody to come forward at this point, and at this point that hasn't happened. I just chatted with the St. George Police Department about an hour ago. They returned my calls from yesterday. And if a victim comes forward, yes, they can look at the case. They can see if charges maybe can be filed or screened at least, and they will go from there. But at this point, there is not a case, Deb and Dave.
Alex, I think one of the things that really stood out to me was this hazing incident. If this video really is as embarrassing and semi-nude, how was this not taken more seriously in the summertime?
Right. Now, this, as I understand it, the original this incident happened back in June, end of the school year with some cheerleaders. It was brought to the attention of the school district, and they had just a short little video clip of it all, nothing nearly as to what was the full video. So the Desert Hills High School administration handled it. They identified who was involved, and they went from there. And they thought, that's it. Okay, handled. Now, one of the cheerleaders on the team, who is now a senior this year, she got, as you mentioned, Dave, she was kicked off the team for a separate incident, and that's when her father kind of went off the rails a little bit and told the school district, look, you put my daughter back on the team, or else guess what? I have this full video that you guys didn't know about. Not only will it embarrass the school district because you didn't know about it, but maybe it'll get some other girls in trouble and get the whole cheerleading team in trouble, and I will release this unless you put my daughter back on the team.
KSL Television's Alex Cabrero is on the line with us right now talking about a hazing incident where a dad now accused of releasing a full video of it, which shows a young female partially naked. It all went down this summer, and now this longer clip has allegedly been released by this dad. And I'm outraged, Alex. I'm concerned that the police department feels like they need to find a victim before they potentially investigate maybe blackmail, child pornography.
Right.
It seems to me that the cops would have some angle into this investigation where they could move forward with it without a victim.
I mean, and Deb, I honestly think that's kind of in the works right now.
Good.
I think they're going to do more. I mean, the school district just got this full video, and they weren't even aware of a full video until this Thursday late afternoon. So, I mean, we're talking Friday, Saturday, what, 4 days maybe now? That through a weekend. I think as this is getting more intention down there in that community, especially as tight-knit as this community is, I think we're going to see some stuff happening.
Yeah, they need to start serving search warrants down there on this, Alex.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
And also and some of the students are, as I understand it, it wasn't just one student involved, one, let's say, victim. It was a bunch of younger girls involved with the older girls on the cheerleading team, like an initiation, a hazing, bullying, whatever. And some of the younger girls who were involved, there was a concern that they're worried if they come forward, well, they're going to be bullied and ostracized. And you're dealing maybe sometimes with the popular kids and maybe the unpopular kids, where the unpopular kids just want to be popular.
Yeah.
And so there's a concern for the bullying, which, you know, there's some tough conversations that parents need to have with their kids at this point. I mean, this what's going on? It was unacceptable, the incident, no doubt about it. Maybe it was. I mean, it's always been unacceptable, Dave. I mean, you know, you're an athlete too. You know how this went down 20, right. 25 years ago. It was tolerated more back then. It's always unacceptable, but now in these days, when you're talking about bullying and mental health issues and kids in school, this is at the forefront. This is unacceptable, and yeah, it shouldn't happen.
Well, and the huge difference between our generation, Alex, and this is we didn't have video. We didn't have cameras right. that recorded everything. Right. One of the things that really stood out to me, and you referenced it, this is a tight-knit community. Even though we don't know who these people are, I would almost guarantee that yeah. everybody at the school yeah. knows and everybody in the community knows specifically who is involved.
Absolutely. And Dave, you're 100% right about that. We didn't name the parent last night on the news simply because the parent hasn't been charged with anything at this point. So we felt it was a little irresponsible on our part in the media to put it out there without formal charges being filed. But any look at some of the Desert Hills High School community boards, the St. George community boards, and the parent is named. You're right. People down there know who this is. They know who the cheerleader is. And there's no doubt that you're right. He's just known out there. People know who this person is.
KSL Television's Alex Cabrero, excellent reporting out of Southern Utah last night. And I know you're going to continue to follow that story as it develops very closely. Dave, I'm absolutely in a mindset right now where the cops need to do everything they can, pull out all the stops to get to the bottom of who that child is in the video. Question that Alex brought up. How do we empower our children to break the code of silence surrounding hazing? A live interview with expert tips for parents. You need to hear this next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Breaking the code of silence. The victim has not come forward in an incident of hazing at Desert Hills High School in Southern Utah. And we're asking the question, how do we empower young victims?
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult question because there's so many things going into it. There's embarrassment, there's shame, there's intimidation. But hazing's been around forever. This isn't something new. Quite frankly, it's a bonding experience, super unhealthy, but no doubt about it, it's effective. And that's why it's been around for so long. And I think that's why, as aware and as woke as we are right now, we are still seeing these incidents happen all the time when hazing is involved.
Let's bring you up to speed real quickly of that developing story out of Southern Utah that Alex Cabrero of KSL Television broke last night at 10. We're continuing our reporting on it today because it's such an important story involving juveniles. In a horrible hazing incident involving cheerleaders at Desert Hills High School in St. George, all caught on tape. They thought this incident, the case had been closed through the district. And then all of a sudden, in an odd twist, one of the cheerleaders allegedly involved in the incident was kicked off the cheer squad for yet another incident. Now her dad's accused of releasing the entire videotape, which allegedly shows a partially clothed juvenile female on that video and is circulating it, according to the district.
Yes, and this is just horrible. We're talking about possible sexual assault. We're talking about hazing. This is a major, major story. And my heart goes out for kids that are so young, that are so impressionable, that are so vulnerable. And to have this come from an upperclassman, a senior, these are serious allegations.
And it certainly isn't just happening in Southern Utah. No one's immune. 1.5 million high school students hazed each year. 91% of all high school students belong to at least one group, according to the data. Half of them, 48%, report being subjected to hazing. Dave, I think we ought to get Jen Oxborough of the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition on the line with us live to help parents work through these issues with their kids, because I think this is also an opportunity, Jen, for us to sit down with our kids tonight and empower them to speak up.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting this conversation and really thinking about this, Debbie. It's so important.
One of the things that we don't quite know is why the child hasn't come out or been willing to testify or at least report to the police officers. And my feeling is, listen, this is a pretty traumatic experience for a child. Doesn't this have to be on their terms and their timeline?
It does. You know, and you mentioned how scary it can be, right? We all want acceptance, but especially in high school, middle school, those are the times when having peers and feeling like we belong and we're connected is so important. And you're talking about cheerleaders. These are leaders within the school, right? These are kids that are popular. So the ramifications for an underclassman in particular could be really, really, really devastating. So, I think it's important that she did come forward, that someone came forward and started talking about this. And I love what you're talking about, what to do when someone tells you that something like this has happened and what next steps to take. I'd love to talk that through.
What are those?
Well, you know, if people are scared and they don't know what to do, one of the best things they can do is to reach out to a professional victim advocate. And there are two different kinds. There are victim advocates within police departments. If you're not quite ready to reach out to the police because you're scared or you don't know what to expect, you can call our hotline for free at 1-800-897-LINK, L-I-N-K. And you can talk confidentially. You don't even have to give us your name. You can talk through the situation with a professional advocate who's trained in this and can help you find resources and decide what the next steps are, because every situation is different. So it's really important that you reach out to someone who understands and can walk you through exactly what to expect.
Jen Oxborough is with the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition. We're talking about a hazing incident down in St. George involving high school students. That investigation is continuing. I really wanted to take an opportunity here, Jen, and educate parents, but also give parents some advice on how to start that conversation. If it were me, I would take this story home and say, look, I heard this on the news today. I was listening to the radio, and I really want to make sure you feel safe coming forward if you're ever in a situation where you feel bullied or have been hazed.
You know, I think that the really important factor in all of this is to make sure that you're making space for that connection and that conversation. And we're letting kids know that when you talk to me, we're going to make a decision as a team, as a family. I'm not going to take this away from you, right? You're talking about someone who's already been overpowered, someone who's already feeling self-conscious, somebody who's afraid about being rejected and humiliated. So to take that power away from them and take the ball and run with it and make all the reports that you feel are important, it could be further disempowering to them. So set the scene, just like you said, Debbie. Sit down with them and say, what do you think about this? What would you want to happen if something like this happened to you or somebody that you care about? And I know somewhere to turn where we can talk confidentially and get some help and figure out what to expect. That's really the best way to start the conversation.
Jen, and I think one of the important things for parents to understand is there's a difference between bullying and hazing in this sense. Hazing is still bullying, but the reason hazing kind of gets overlooked is because there's this little promise that, hey, if you allow us to bully you, you will be part of the crew later on. You'll be a friend. Whereas bullying doesn't really offer that promise of friendship down the road. I think that's why people are so hesitant to talk about hazing or to report hazing.
Right, right. So basic brain development, you know, we know that kids and young adults too, tend to be more emotionally driven in their thought processes. So when they're thinking about this, they're thinking exactly what you said. They're afraid of being rejected. They want to belong. But do we want to belong to a set of friends and colleagues who are using power and control over people? That's an unhealthy way to be connected. So as an adult, when someone turns to you with this, you can help them play it all the way through. Think this through. Do you really want to be connected to people who are using power and control, humiliation? Do you want to be in a position where you're accepted and then expected to deliver that type of abuse to other people? And I would call it abuse. This is an abusive, assaultive situation that I read about. And we need to help people understand that there's no price worth paying for that type of friendship or connection.
Jen Oxborough with the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition. Thank you, my friend, so much for jumping on the line with us and helping us as parents wrap our heads around how to start this conversation with our kids tonight about hazing. Continuing the conversation, from St. George to Kaysville, where 8 girls have come forward to say they've been victimized. They've been victims of groping, Dave, at a football game in your neck of the woods. I'm going to tell you how one of the girls captured evidence to solve the case, plus a live interview. Dave knows one of the fathers. Straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
Big discussion on human trafficking.
And he talks about the news.
Still doesn't meaningfully address the problem.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Dave and Dujanovic.
An investigation into hazing involving a St. George High School cheerleader has the victim afraid to come forward. We're going to continue to follow that story, but we also want to head up to Kaysville, where several victims have come forward to say a man there was inappropriately grabbing them at a high school football game.
This was at my school. This was my kid's school, Deb, Davis High School. And to add another little layer, this happened to my best friend and his family. I mean, this was something that came out in a Sunday conversation, and I couldn't believe it. But I was so proud of the girls that weren't afraid to say, you know what? There's something creepy going on here.
Exhibit A, one of the girls had taken a picture of the man and sent it to her father to show police. The officer tracked down the suspect, asked him if he was touching people, and according to the cops, he said it was just a crowded football game, so he brushed up against a few people.
Yeah, brushed up. That's how they describe it. Oh, I mean, it was a crowded area. We wanted to reach out and talk to my BFF, Alan Lass. Thanks for joining us. Give us a little bit of an idea. You were at the Davis football game on Friday with your family. Your son's on the field. He's playing. And your daughter Cameron is hanging out with her friends. What happened next?
That's right. Can you hear me, you guys?
I got
you. I can hear you, Alan.
You're in.
Hi.
Awesome. Well, hey, Debbie.
Hey.
Between the third and fourth quarter, I got a text from my daughter. She's actually in junior high, and the junior high kids hang out kind of in the south end zone, a couple hundred kids. She texted me, and she said, there's a creepy guy down here, and he's touching girls inappropriately. And so as a concerned father, I immediately ran down from the stand over to where she was, and she pointed out this guy to me. And luckily, close by, the school safety officer, a Kaysville officer, I was able to grab him. He was actually speaking to another father who also got a call from a daughter. So we grabbed him and brought him over, ran over and made sure this guy wasn't bothering the girls. And the cops ended up just talking to him, pulled him away from the scene. There had to have been a couple of hundred kids from the junior high, all in a crowd, and they ended up taking this person off to the side to question him. Meanwhile, about 8 or 10 girls gathered around me and said that he had approached them or talked to them or tried to kiss them or had grabbed them. And so I gathered them, made sure that the police were able to talk to each of the girls and get a statement.
Alan, this was crazy. And to describe that situation, you say, you know, they were in the south end zone. This has been the gathering spot for junior high kids for decades. I mean, it is very abnormal and really almost inappropriate for adults to be hanging out in that area.
Most definitely. Really, the only adults in that area are some of the parents who who man the snack bar. It's right where the scoreboard is, where the D statue is, the D for Davis. And there's, I would say, at least 200 kids just socializing and talking, and they're really not even watching the football game. They're just hanging out for a couple hours.
Alan Last is a dad. He's on the line with us right now. We're talking about an incident that went down Friday at Davis High School at the football game. There's a suspect who was booked into jail. He was 24 years old, accused of trying to kiss young girls, junior high schoolers, and also groping them. He was taken into custody. And I want to say, Alan, this is because the girls did not hesitate to report it to their parents, including your daughter reporting it immediately to you. You've got to be very happy about that.
There were actually multiple girls who had taken pictures of this guy because they were totally creeped out by him and the things he was doing. So it wasn't just one that took pictures. I think only one provided it to the officers, but there were a bunch, including my daughter, who had taken pictures of this guy just to be safe. But I sure was proud of them that they really stuck together. They you know, didn't leave their friends alone. They stuck in groups, and they stepped up and made sure that they brought adults into the situation to help resolve what was going on.
What were you thinking and what were you feeling when you got that text from your daughter? I mean, did you just basically run the fastest 40-meter dash in history?
I sure did. My wife didn't even know where I was going. I just ran down and ran to my daughter. I was glad the police officers were there. I mean, I obviously would have confronted this guy if there weren't any officers there, but it sure makes you nervous as a parent knowing that there are people like this among us that are doing these kinds of things to our young people.
Well, Alan, I think if this story does anything, it brings all of us hope that there's a group of young girls up in the Davis County area who felt empowered to immediately report what they were seeing at the high school football game with this guy allegedly groping girls and trying to kiss girls. He's 24 years old. It just seems out of place. So I'm wondering, as a mom, what did you ever do or say to your daughter to make sure she felt empowered to immediately reach out to you as quickly as she did in this situation?
Well, we've had discussions with Cameron over the years about what to do if someone tried to touch them or do something that they weren't comfortable with. And so I think she was very willing to reach out to me. I asked her what she would have done if I wasn't available, if this guy tried to, you know, do something that was even higher on the, you know, inappropriate level. And, you know, she said we would have been kicking and screaming, kicking this guy where it counts, scratching his eyes out, doing anything that we could have done to stop him from assaulting these girls. And a lot of the girls had the same responses. And so I think those conversations are being had between parents and children more and more, which is a good thing.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us. Debbie, when I heard that story, I had the same exact reaction as you did. I was so excited that the kids responded exactly like we have been begging them to. They didn't laugh it off. They didn't joke about it. They said, you know what, Dad, I'm texting Dad. And then what does Dad do? And he runs over a half a dozen people trying to get there because it's creepy. And those kind of people are out there, and it's important to point it out and to shine a light on it.
I think it's also important to recognize those girls who did report it immediately for this fact, Dave, is this guy ends up behind bars. He's in jail now. How many other children did they potentially save?
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that would stand out. This wasn't just an individual standing. This was the something that happened. Several kids had a weird, inappropriate experience. So
he was trying to kiss him,
yes,
or grope him. And then you pointed out, because that's your high school, he was in an area where normally adults don't stand and gather at that high school football game.
Well, and it's not just a confusion of, oh, how I thought these girls were older than they were, or these kids were. No, these are junior high hangout spots. This is 7th to 9th graders. It is not where the high school kids hang out. They would never be where the junior high kids are. So we're talking about kids that are 12 to 14 years old. So I was really excited to hear that the kids responded so well.
We want to talk about an upcoming event, a big event here on September 30th. Dr. Matt Woolley, he's part of Project Recovery, the podcast that you can find here at KSL News Radio, will join KSL in a special event open to the public, and he's going to address a number of things.
Yeah, teen anxiety, depression, screen time. To find out more, text the word teen to 57500.
Breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.